afternoon, or probably good evening. This is Ralph Kermit Winterode II with the Ralph Winterode Show out of the far north. Truth Seeker of the far north. Today's subject, no guests today. And if you've got any questions, why, feel free to call in at RBN at 800-313-9443. And, boy, I'm going to talk about something that I have been researching, spending a lot of hours this last week on, trying to understand our court systems that we have today. We know they're not what they're supposed to be. But the question is, what are they? And how can we prove these things? And that has turned into a, shall we say, more than an intriguing question. And so I'm not going to be able to probably get through this in 2 hours by any means. I seriously doubt that this could be followed on a one time through, because it's a real mind twist. I am telling you, it's just unbelievable what these guys have done. Anyway, also I have another issue I just wanted to address briefly, because we actually have out here in a a decision that we got out of the appellate court, and I haven't put it out yet. I've got to sanitize it. I was going to sanitize it, and I haven't. But we had a very interesting response in this particular appellate court. I'm providing research materials to this party, so I don't have his permission to put his name out of the court. But they denied the habeas corpus that was filed, and that was one that had been recast. They took it from the civil side to the criminal side, and it was we put in a constitutional, and we made the mistake of quoting anything out of Title 28 is an error. And because they have their own special rules hidden away in the rules of civil procedure for each one of these habeas issues, and as soon as you trip one of those trip wires, they lump onto it, because it's like saying I don't have a Social Security number, or I don't want a benefit from Social Security, and then on a brief you use a Social Security number. Well, obviously you can't live in both worlds. So anyway, they denied the habeas corpus petition, which I had already presumed that they probably would, because the way the statutory side is set up, which I, when I get into the courts, the appellate courts, being courts of appeal, they are not courts, they are circuit courts of the United States. They don't exercise judicial power, and I'm going to get into that today. All they are is basically admiralty equity courts, or contract courts, and agency courts, administrative state courts. But anyway, they denied the habeas, and we know why. And they denied the ineffective assistance of counsel. But what is really interesting, I've never seen this before, and affirm all remaining claims. So all of the other claims, usually they say judgment affirmed of conviction or something. They'll just say affirmed lower court or something. But they didn't do anything concerning the party that's incarcerated. And we now will have filed next week petition for rehearing en banc to have the full court hear it. And what I'm hoping that they will do is, based on this affirm all remaining claims, they will turn this party loose, and, of course, nobody's ever going to figure it out what the heck happened, and both parties are covered. He'll be out of jail, and they didn't divulge anything. But anyway, I've never seen one before where they actually said affirm all remaining claims in a criminal issue that we had filed in, and then they don't say what they're going to do. They don't say the court's right or you're right, other than we affirmed all remaining claims, which says we're right. I hear the music, and we'll be back in a minute.
We'll be right back. The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Morning, neighbor.
Hey, shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making money 24/7, but I never have to go to work.
So what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down, it's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah, DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains three DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes media mail shipping, $15 for UPS ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
Okay, this is Ralph Kermit Winterroad back with the Ralph Winterroad Show, coming to you out of the far north of Alaska. Beautiful sunny day today. Nice cool morning, and probably within a week we'll start having the leaves turn. It's amazing how quick we get fall up here, but of course we're so far up that we have extremely long summers and very short winters on daylight. So when it starts going down like it's going down now, why, it cools off fairly rapidly, so fall really gets here. Anyway, back to that circuit case. Anyway, it's extremely interesting, so we'll see how this one plays out. I've never seen one where you go up on appeal and they don't say somebody wins. Somebody's got to win and somebody's got to lose. And we did ask for relief, so I'm not sure what's going on there. I think I know, but we're going to find out. Anyway, stay tuned here, and we'll have that one out. Also, I have, which I can't let out, I have that party because I happen to know him too, another one where the judge affirmed back east that the duty to file is under 6012, 26 U.S.C. 6012, and this circuit that we were already in has affirmed that 1.6012-1, which is under the general grant of authority of 7805 mandating that there shall be regulations, this circuit has already affirmed that we were correct, and that is where the duty to file. There is a law to file. It's all nonsense that there's not a duty to file. income tax return. But, of course, you got to be a citizen of the United States, a resident of the United States, or a non-resident alien out of Puerto Rico. And that's a must if you read 1.6012-1. That's a 26 CFR. So, anyway, on that point, now have a Department of Justice signature that the 60 that the duty to file is under 6012, and also now have a judge denying a new trial. So we've got two sides. So either these folks are liars, and actually they're liars, but what they're saying is true. And so all these people that keep going around and say there's no law, there is, but the problem is that if you are the status of the citizen of the United States, which is what I'm going to get into today because that's part of our court system problem, if you are of that status and you want to operate in a fictional world and have you've given Congress a full power of attorney over your life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, hoo-ha. Of course, they don't tell us that. It would be a shock to the system to think that I had a full power of attorney to Ted Stevens, Uncle Ted, and Aunt Lisa, Lisa Murkowski. Heaven forbid. We've got some of the best criminal people up there that know how to raid the largesse of the public taxpayer money and get it back to Alaska. And of course, Alaska is going through a somewhat of a clean, we're cleaning the house here, or the FBI's here. If they actually went through it, probably we would lose 95% of every politician in Alaska. They've started this once before, and then all of a sudden, probably the word comes down from on high, wherever that is, and says cease and desist. Anyway, getting back to give just a little bit of history to understand the courts, and starting off on this, there are technically, in our constitutional republic, there are three types of courts. There's the Article I courts, which Congress, on any of the powers granted in Article I, Congress can create what's called an Article I court. And that is basically an administrative, any type of court of claims, all those type of courts. That's an Article I court, and it comes out of Article I. There is a Article III, and the trick on this one is if it is established as an Article III in the first instance, it never can do anything administrative. It is a constitutional court. And that means this is where the United States is either the plaintiff or the petitioner, and it's between the citizens of the several states. If you're domiciled in one, in say like New York, and you want to go after somebody in Massachusetts, then you could go to the federal court, through a court of the United States. First of all, all of the earlier court decisions prior to 1875, at least, to have standing, you had to have your citizenship in there, or you couldn't even get into the court. The other party that could get into the court is an alien. Because if you were in New York and you had an issue with an alien, well, obviously he's not a citizen of one of the several states. So the federal courts were set up initially in the Judiciary Act to handle an alien and a citizen of one of the several states. But now we have to go back to this core problem, and I've tracked everything goes back to this problem. This fictitious status. After the Civil War, they were called Radical Republicans. I don't know if that has anything to do with the Republican Party today or not, but they overthrew the whole government, everything. They flat out did everything. They just walked out. They did the Tenure of Office Act on the executive and took away the judicial power. They took away the judicial power, not tenure, but the executive power. They overthrew the courts, and they told the court system, take a hike. You can't look at anything we're doing. And they also controlled the military of the president. And, of course, President Johnson that came in after President Lincoln was assassinated, he fired the Secretary of War and put a new one in. And, of course, 4 days later, they tried to impeach him. And he missed it by one vote. So that tells you how far out the Congress was out of control at that point. So anyway, starting back with the citizen of the United States and why this is important, because if you go back to the Judiciary Act, But 1789, and this is in section 11, by the way, for those that want to do it, it's in one stat. 78 is the page, if you go on the internet and pull it up. And I'm going to be posting some of these documents on my special list here, probably tomorrow. I'm not going to get to it today. But anyway, it says right in there that the parties are the United States are plaintiffs or petitioners. That sounds logical. Or an alien is a party, or a suit between a citizen of a state where the suit is brought and a citizen of another state. That's it. That's all we had back then. So you got the United States, the government, and then you've got this catch-22 of an alien slides in here. Well, then you got to have make room that somebody can sue the alien or the alien can sue you. And we have citizens of the several states. So if I'm in one state, I have a right to go to a federal court and sue a citizen of another state. Okay? So now, after the Civil War, they created the Citizen of the United States. They just made it up. They never freed the Negroes. That's all a big illusion, a big grand lie. All they did was take them from the southern plantation owners and put them under Congress. And Congress then is their slave master, and the Negroes were under Congress. Okay, now it's 1866, and I got a Supreme Court decision that said that, of course, what they did, that was where the Citizen of the United States is created. People think it's created in the 14th. No, that's where it was put in so that the Supreme Court, so that when we found out or the courts ruled, the court couldn't overrule the Citizen of the United States. Because once it's in an amendment, the court can't touch it. They can't go there. That's a political question. So what they did is they created an illusion called Santa Claus, and they made Santa Claus show up in the 14th Amendment, and we all know Santa Claus doesn't exist, but hey, if it's in the 14th Amendment, it must be good. But that created a major problem for the court systems. Because guess what? A citizen of the United States has no standing in the original Judiciary Act of 1789. Because in 1789, the people back there I'm sure they may have thought about it. That's why they got very specific. But they said the government, United States, only one of them, not defined. By the way, there's no definitions in the Judiciary Act. That's the first thing you want to look at is when you go to these acts that they do, and they're defining all of the words United States or state and citizen of the United States, that tells you right there they're outside the Constitution, because we're only supposed to have one United States. And that's the one in the Constitution, composed of the several states. So the problem becomes they created a fiction. And they gave it all the same rights as enjoyed by the white citizens. That's in Title 42. 1981, 1982, and 1988. And by the way, all of the revised statutes of 1878, the criminal side, that's Title 13, civil rights, Title 24, and crimes, Title 70, is all brought forward today intact, unchanged, sitting in Title 42, USC, 1988. They didn't change anything. It's all there. That's what's going on today. But back to the original problem. How in the world can Congress have a citizen of the United States in New York sue a citizen of the United States in Massachusetts? Because they had no standing in the federal courts. They had a major problem. And the other problem they were running into, Congress went wild with corporation fictions. That's one of the elements of a fascist state, is we have all these fictions in law with a military government. And there's nobody's accountable. So they did a very interesting little thing, and I tripped over this as I was delving into understanding the courts, and it's a major issue in what's going on today. And the issue is called federal question. It's just like a citizen of the United States. It sounds so deliciously correct. You go out here and people will fight for it. They'll die for it. And they don't know what it is. Well, I hear the music playing, and we'll be back in a minute with some more astounding information. So stay tuned.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
For one more short segment, this is Ralph Kermit Winterroad, the second Ralph Winterroad show out of Alaska, far north, beautiful day, and talking about the courts. And there needs to be some background to understand this, because it is really convoluted, but when you get the basic concepts down, it becomes much clearer. And I can understand, I've probably been through, I didn't even want to know how many hundreds of cases here in the last week. If this is true, is that true? Well, if that's true, then this can't be true. And eventually the truth finally gets to the top, and then you can go back and there's no doubt that these judges know what the game is. And they write these things, it's wordsmithing. And you got to be extremely careful what they're doing. Anyway, back to the issue of the original Judiciary Act, which was founded in the law, only made provisions for the United States either as a plaintiff or petitioner, because that's the government, for federal courts. Seems quite logical to me. And then the only other, quote, people, man or woman, child, I guess, too, but man, woman, or party, is a citizen of one of the several states. You were either a citizen of New York, you were a citizen of Massachusetts, you were a citizen of Rhode Island, one of the several states that was in existence back then. Or an alien. And that's it. Seems really simple. It was very simple, very straightforward. And you had to define your status to get into the federal court. Two citizens of Rhode Island couldn't go to the federal court. They couldn't go shopping for a court system. If there were two citizens of Rhode Island, they would go to a court of the state of Rhode Island. Which, I mean, all this seems so logical and so simple. So anyway, now Congress has overthrown the government. They've created this fiction strictly for the Negroes initially. They did it for another reason, of course, is to overthrow the whole government. And anyway, so they create this fiction in law, a citizen of the United States, where they granted the right to sue and be sued, the right to own personal and private property, the right to contract, and to have the same rights as enjoyed by white citizens. Can't believe this is still out there today. And quote some of the black or brown or yellow or whatever flavor you want to have your skin color hasn't caught on to this yet. Of course, probably it's because they don't know. And even the white guys. I'm a white guy, but it pisses me off. Pardon my French, but the bottom line is I am a citizen of one of the several states, and I am a white guy, white citizen. So why would I want to have the same rights as enjoyed by the white citizens? I don't want to surrender anything here, folks. I have inalienable rights. But anyway, Congress had a problem. They hadn't put in the citizen of the United States as far as implementing it in the lawsuit area yet, because they were still using the citizens of the several states. But they had a problem. They were in the transition stage of moving everybody over to be a citizen of the United States. So the question is, how are you going to give the illusion that the judicial power of the United States, that court established under Article 3, well, so you would have standing? Well, it's really interesting what a few words will do. And I found this in a later case, and I backed it down and kept you keep reverse engineering it. And it's called the interesting, and another again, it's a nice, delicious word called a federal question. Sounds quite good. It's used quite, you'll find it all over in cases. Is it a federal question? But what does that mean? Sounds, like I say, deliciously correct. I mean, you couldn't be wrong. Well, what they did is they took the Judiciary Act of 1789, Section 11, and they took out this little part here, an alien is a party. They took out five little words. So the alien no longer has any standing to sue as a party. Of course, that means in the new restated in 1875, and that is in 18 Stat 470, you will find it. And what they inserted was, in lieu of an alien is a party, they inserted foreign states, comma, citizens, comma, or subjects. So what does that mean? Where did the alien go? The alien must be part of a foreign state, citizens, or subjects. Well, quite interesting what that means. This opened the door for corporations to come in and have standing as a citizen. This opened the door for a citizen of the United States. Because no longer is it your standing with your citizen of one of the several states or an alien. It is a federal question. You're a fiction in law in your foreign state, and what they've done, a citizen of the United States does not exist in this country, in a constitutional republic. We're on the outside looking in if you want that status. So this made it that a citizen of the United States in New York and a citizen of United States in Massachusetts, we don't have to say, we just got a federal question. Do you have something that might be of a federal nature? Your citizen standing in a constitutional republic is irrelevant. Just you have a federal question. And one of these cases was concerning some place that Britain had actually chartered this entity, and this entity had done business with a bank in the United States, and somehow we got control over, quote, foreign states, citizens, or subject. Well, first of all, it's a real clue. In our country, in our constitutional republic, hear the music, so we'll be back after that, and we'll continue on here with the background to get started in the courts, and we'll have a longer segment. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.
Morning, neighbor.
Hey, shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making money 24/7. But I never have to go to work.
So, what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So, what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down, it's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah, DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Well, we're back from break. This is Rob Kermit Winterud. We're talking about the court system and laying in some basic groundwork to understand how these criminal acts are being perpetrated today in these courts. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that there's no justice in these courts today because they're not sitting under the Constitutional Republic. They're look-alike somethings, but what are they? Look-alike for what? And can you prove it? And that's what I'm working up to. So I left off here that in 1875 they were getting set up for the changing for the Article III courts that could only handle constitutional. They're constitutional courts and they can only handle issues that are constitutional. They are prohibited from handling administrative issues. They can never do it. But the trick is they have to be established under Article III. Which means if they come up under Article 3, then they can only do Article 3 issues. If they create, which I'm going to get into in a minute, but if they create like an Article 1 court in the District of Columbia, they can then clothe it with the Article 3 judicial power. Technically, it's still an Article 1 court, but then it also has all of the attributes that they choose to give it of an Article 3 court. So, therefore, it looks like, but technically it's not, because it can do administrative and it can do the law side. And of course, most people that have fought the system know that anytime you have administrative versus law, they love administrative because there's no rule of law. They just do whatever they feel like. And this is called Praetorian Law. If you want to, if you're a history buff and you track it back to the Roman civil law, because that's what they were doing. It's every case is unique, and the judge is the dictator, basically. I mean, whatever he says is goes. Anyway, getting back to the citizens of the United States. So now they're getting it set up to where your standing, your citizen standing, is not required. It's under the federal question. And, of course, it's foreign state, comma, citizen, comma, or subject. Well, the first clue that we got something wrong here is I don't remember in our constitutional republic where we have subjects. We're supposed to be citizens of one of the several states. We're an American citizen, which means you're born on the land. That was Engle's case. If you're born on the land, you have a citizen status of an American citizen, lowercase c. That was decided a long, long time ago, right after the 1776 era. You're a citizen of the United States of America. That's where everybody that is naturalized, their certificate comes in that status, and we all have it, which means you can travel. That's your traveling citizenship, citizen of the United States of America, because all of these different, quote, several states are one of the United States of America. They're also one of these United States, but they're all sovereign countries, and then there's a limited delegation of power given to the United States of America, and then there's to the United States. It's confusing, but the citizen of the United States of America is your traveling citizenship to go anywhere amongst these several states with no passport. And then once you become domiciled, and domicile relates directly to your citizen standing to give you access to the contract called the Constitution, if you are a citizen of New York, domiciled in New York, those are interchangeable. And then you have access to the Constitution of New York, not the Constitution of the state of New York. That's the government. The Constitution of New York is the law of the land of your country called New York. Okay? So now, we've got this, they've got it set up so that we're going to not have to put in the citizen of one of the several states to get standing with a citizen of another one of the several states. We can get around that now. We could just have everybody that's got this brand new fictitious standing. We'll be able to get in the quote federal court. So they've opened the door for something that they're working down the road that they're going to accomplish. And then they came along in 1888 and they moved the Judicial Civil Commission. They moved all the Article III judges. In 25 Stat 387, they moved them over into the Department of Justice where they are today. So they moved the judges and got them ready for the overthrow of our Article III courts. Now, they actually did a new Court of Appeals in 1891. Not a Circuit Court of the United States, but a Court of Appeals. And you will notice that's what we have today. We have the Court of Appeals, Ninth Circuit, Tenth Circuit, First Circuit, not Circuit Courts of the United States. Well, if the name isn't there, it's not obviously a court of one of the United States. Obviously we got something wrong here, folks, because the Circuit Court of Appeals is exactly what it is, and they come out in 1940 code, and it's an equity admiralty court. Well, anyway, moving forward, we get up to 1911. So now they've got the judges gone. They're in the Department of Justice. So they're that's all set up. They've got the citizen of the United States set up under a quote federal question. So now they got rid of the first court in their world. Got to understand, we have a parallel system. We have the reality, and then you go through the porthole or the wormhole into the land of Oz, and this is this parallel system that the Supreme Court said once. So we have a constitution inside, and then we have one running on the outside. Well, the one on the outside is where they've moved everyone today. And this is a unique thing about the 14th Amendment, why it was so against what was set up in our republic, because the Supreme Court has clarified that, and you can go back and look in the founding of the Constitutional Republic. Did they want Congress to operate directly on the people, legislate, or go through an agent? And they opted, which is the correct way, that Congress could only legislate directly on the people, which means we could hold Congress accountable. And what they did in the 14th Amendment is backwards. We're on the outside, and we have, then the state comes in and can pound on us, and we have to go back and say, no, you can't do that. It's like, it's totally reversed, because the state is the agent, and they don't work for us. And that's why that's the problem that we have today, because none of these people, all of these child custody, the corporate cops, they're not accountable to us. You can't fire them. Almost impossible. There's a sheriff, some of those yet, that have bonds, but they're corporate bonds, most of them. I don't know for sure. I've never researched them all out, but that's the problem that we're having. So we get up to 1911, and they take the Circuit Court of the United States, and they move all of its judicial power into the District Court of the United States. And they create a brand new Circuit Court of Appeals. And then they put the writ of error, which is mandatory for a court of law. Then in 1928, they got rid of that. So they created the first, they got rid of the first court, which is the Circuit Court of the United States in 1911. So now we jump forward to 1948, and that was the triumph of the administrative state. What in the world happened then? And this is, I'm going to be putting these books out. I have the Title 28 book done. I'm not making it available yet. I'm waiting for the Title 18 book, of which there are only four left in the world, and I've got one of them coming in, and I'm going to copy, scan, and OCR it and make it available. But what happened in 1948? How did they pull this off? Well, this is what I've been researching here, like I say, this last week, really, just case after case after case, because they all make sense if you can understand and keep track of what's going on. But getting to the bottom of it is really an issue. And the first thing to understand is judicial power of the United States. A true Article III court. The judicial power of the United States is posited, is put into the Constitution by a grant from the people. So the judicial power comes from the Constitution. If you think of it like a water tank. And then down below, Congress creates by statute courts that can receive this judicial power or some part thereof. So it's like a big water tank, and say there's a 10-inch pipe coming of water is all of the judicial power. Congress can create different vessels, if you will, different courts, and one can have a 1-inch pipe to it to get water. One can have a 4-inch pipe doing different parts of the judicial power. So to create a true Article III court, the judicial power comes from the Constitution. Congress can't create it, and they can't control it. All they can do is create courts as they see fit, different courts, to allocate certain parts of that power coming from the Constitution. That's all they can do. Well, in 1948, that's what this book is so important about. They did not abolish the district courts of the United States. They did not abolish the district courts of the United States. Now, in that court is setting the judicial power of the United States. What they did is they created an overlay. They created, we went through the portal into the land of Oz, and they created something called a United States District Court. Not a district court of the United States. Now, of course, of is a preposition, so source, origin, and relationship. The is an article, meaning a specific, the United States. A United States District Court is whatever they want it to be, and even in the Bouvier's in the 1914, it says Admiralty Court. It's a contract court. Your Bill of Rights, our inalienable rights, are not in that court. They're only by appearance are they in there. So, they created this new court called the United States District Court. This is in Title 28, Section 132. This is 1948. And this is the book that I'm going to be putting out. But the part that gets quite interesting in this, that starts to tell you that of what they did, and it seems these little short phrases that these guys use are so innocuous. We just go right over it because we're not used to looking at what these guys are doing. But what they said in this thing, that's an absolute killer. There's two things in this book that proves conclusively and why they did it. So they're creating by statute a United States District Court, okay? So they call it something else. Technically, why would they call it something else? That tells you right there, there's a clue we got something wrong in Congress. But you have to go to Section 132, and you go down to C, and here's the killer. Except as otherwise provided by law, which means by Congress, or rule, or order of court. The judicial power of a district court. The judicial power of a district court? The Constitution of the United States, arising under Article 3, is very specific. It doesn't talk about the judicial power of a district court. We're supposed to have called the United States. Right in Article 1, it says the judicial power of the United States shall be vested, not the judicial power of a district court. There is no such thing. They just made it up. But it means that the judicial power of the district court, and you've got to go a little farther, with respect to any action, suit, or proceeding, may be exercised by a single judge. Or by other judges down the road here, a little farther in. So what does that really mean? What's the real significance of this? Congress created a statutory court, but this court could not, this vessel, if you look at it as receiving water from judicial power of a tank, this vessel, or this court that they put, could not receive any part of the judicial power of Article 3. And what makes it so that it couldn't? Because in statute, the Congress go back then and says, we're going to have judicial power of a district court that can be changed by Congress, by rule or order of the court. How can I have my constitutionally rights controlled by rule or order of a court or by Congress? Can't. That is crucial. That is one of the two major elements why that United States District Court has no judicial, it exercises no judicial power of the United States under the authority of the United States. And those are neat words. And the judicial power, the source of that is Article 3, Section 1, judicial power of the United States, which means it has to be established only, first instance, judicial power of the United States, which means your and my grant, our limited delegation to the several states, and our grant to the United States, with the 10th Amendment coming in, 10th Amendment saying that what we didn't give you is reserved either to the one of the several states or it's reserved to the people. It's reserved to the state or the people. This is the way it's supposed to be set up. And this is absolutely killing to these guys, because Congress cannot in any manner ever address judicial power. If they address judicial power, we have no constitutional republic, and this is the game that they've played today. So it's absolutely critical because, if, like it says here, that the judicial power can be changed by law, which is by Congress, by rule or order of the court. Imagine going into the court of a guy that's supposed to be independent, and he's supposed to be bound by a constitution, and he's supposed to be bound to only do what's he's granted in the Bill of Rights. And then we go in there, and here's this guy that can do whatever he wants. Because we don't understand that judicial power comes from the Constitution. And then Congress creates by statute, establishes in the first instance, a court that can receive some part of that power or all of it. That's the only thing that Congress can do under jurisdiction. That's why the argument of jurisdiction is a killer. You can. They always say this court has jurisdiction. Yeah, I'm in there arguing about a citizen of the United States, or I'm in there because I got my Social Security number, I'm in there because of driver's license, and you want to argue this court doesn't have jurisdiction. What that court does not have is cognizance of all classes, if you're in a federal court, in law and equity arising under Article 3, exercising the judicial power of the United States, which is my constitutional secured rights, under the authority of the United States, which is under the authority of the Constitution of the United States. And that's what is these state courts. Now, a thing up. I hear the music here coming again, so we'll be back in a minute with more enlightenment. If anybody's got any questions and I haven't lost you by now, why, stay tuned. We're going to have more.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com or call 312-224-2710, 312-224-2710.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Well, we're back from break, and this is Ralph Kermit Winterer II, and I'm in Alaska, and we have George online out of Florida. Go ahead, George.
Yeah, thank you, Ralph. I got a few questions. With Judge Roy Moore, Hazleton, Pennsylvania, Proposition 187, and...
Now, this judge, is he a state or a federal judge?
I mean, you know, these were all state by local governments and by the will of the people. And and a high court of a sovereign state. Where does the federal courts have jurisdiction, like in Roy Moore's case, to go tell the high court of the sovereign state of Alabama, you can't have the Ten Commandments in the courthouse rotunda? And, like, where does the federal government have jurisdiction to tell Hazleton, Pennsylvania, you have no that ordinance is unlawful? Same thing with Proposition 187 back 10 years ago when the federal judge said they're overriding the will of the people. Same thing in Farmers Branch, Texas. The people wanted it, and they overrided the will of the people.
Okay, here's the game. These people that are in that state court are not citizens of the several states. They're citizens of the United States. They've signed up to it under the penalties of perjury in their voter registrations. They've signed up under an I-9. They've signed up with a Social Security. They've signed up with their bank accounts to be a citizen of the United States. They have abandoned their status. And the states that they think they're domiciled in, they've waived all of their constitutional rights, all of them, everything. They've signed up with the dark side in that status. That's why also in all juries, before the, quote, trial by jury or even the farce of it, they always ask on the record, is everybody here a citizen of the United States? Because you have to abandon your status. And once you take on this fictional status of like Santa Claus, they can do whatever they want. There is no Bill of Rights. There isn't. It's whatever they want to do. You have said, okay, just be nice to me. In reality, we're in an occupied country because we have allowed these people unknowingly and unwittingly to rule us. And what we're saying is be nice, but they teach us, oh, you got a constitution. Oh, yeah, right, you betcha. But they're not bound by it. So they get away with everything, and then we have to go try to get it back. And that's not the way a constitutional republic is supposed to work.
I mean, it's like I say, if you said, like, these district courts don't really have, like a case of the Alabama Supreme Court, that's the high court. I mean, how does that come in? You know, that's a one branch.
But see, if you go look, I can conclusively tell you within Alaska, we have no public officers of the state of Alaska. That means somebody that's bound by the Constitution of the United States and is a public officer of one of the several states. I unequivocally tell you there are no officers of the United States in the federal courts, which is mandated for the judges. They're all employees. It's all a word game. And the issue is, it's when you take on this fictional status, you have agreed to have these people rule your life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And it's all a perception. You think you live over here. You think you got a Bill of Rights. You're all wrong. Because the bottom line is, I'm sure, and I've done it. I used to be a registered voter. I have a driver's license, but I have it under a different way until I can get that cleared up. I have a, quote, social slave number in a fictitious name. But we all have these things that attach to us, and it's conclusive that if you have that number, that's who you are. And they've overthrown the whole government because nobody's figured it out. And there are only a few of us that have finally started to get to the core problem. And I hear the music, and if you want to stay tuned, if you want to hold on, we'll talk about it after the break.
Okay.